Welcome back to the Amazing Gamers Podcast, a just for fun production about media that matters and why we love it so much. Your host, Nathan Lamb, is not an amazing gamer, but he sure knows a few people who are. This is our conversation for today. And welcome back. I got a theory that May is the best month on the calendar and Friday is the best day of the week. And today is both. So it's a great day all around. Thanks for joining us again at Amazing Gamers. Today as my guest, I'm welcoming back Dana, the savviest comic book shopper in the Boston area and a guy who likes to review media of all sorts.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for having me back, man. I appreciate it.
Always good to chat, Dana. Always good. And you had really exciting news for me yesterday. So, you know, we were already going to chat, but when you told me that you finally are checking out Chrono Trigger, I circled this on the calendar.
I picked up a DS. I modded it and added, I actually had all these games lying around on a different mod for a Wii. Quick YouTube video, yep. and changed it over. I added all these games on there, but yeah, Chrono Trigger is one I started finally. And it's funny because this guy that opened this toy shop in the mall, he puts on the soundtrack all the time, and yeah. It's the soundtrack to Chrono Trigger. And I was like, oh man, this is great stuff, because it sounds like kind of Kamasi Washington, like. Mm-hmm. Jazzy and cool. I'm like, this is very like, I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like, I didn't know you were a jazz guy. He's like, oh no, this is Chrono Trigger. And I'm like, oh, okay. Now I have to really play this game. So, but yeah, it's been fun so far. I mean, it's like, it is pretty legendary.
Rightly so.
And have you played it like a bunch, or did you play it like the first time around? It was like released or.
So I'm gonna tell you this story because it's funny, because I think a lot of people like me missed Chrono Trigger. I played Chrono Trigger about 10 years ago, but it's an amazing game. I played it and totally loved it. It came out at the very end of the Super Nintendo. It came out in like 1995.
That's why a lot of people missed it, I think.
And also, did you know that it was like a dream project?
It was, it's by two or three different people, right?
Three. It's by three heavyweights. One of those guys was Toriyama.
Yep.
So Toriyama, the guy who's done amazing artwork. If you look at the artwork for Chrono Trigger, it's got a very Toriyama kind of look.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And he collaborated with the guy who was like the creator of the Final Fantasy series.
Right. Yep.
And the guy who created the Dragon Warrior series. It was like the three of them It's completely, the fact that Chrono Trigger even happened is just like one of those crazy things that was just like meant to be.
Yeah.
And they sort of made their dream game.
Yeah.
Like that's why it has stuff like you are enjoying it now. Like imagine it in the mid 90s. There's almost no random encounters. There's like group attacks. There's multiple endings, new game plus. It's got all these things that are now in RPGs. Back then, that was like all new.
Yep.
So,
yeah, and it's like, amazing and the soundtrack, on multiple levels. You know?
What's up?
And the soundtrack. It's just insane. It's like ahead of its time. Yeah.
It was way ahead of its time, and it was like awesome. So, it's kind of like got both.
Did you beat it?
And have fun. And you can also, if you know like the history of RPGs, you can appreciate how cutting edge it really was. And yeah, I played it about 10 years ago. I'm going to play it again, probably when it gets ported to Switch. I don't think it's on Switch.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I played it on my phone a little bit, but yeah, great game. I did do the new game plus, so I could always circle back to it. But
I
love Luca too. Luca is like, The inventor. I always love the inventor characters.
Yeah, they're pretty sweet, especially in those games where it's like just weird stuff you're making. Yeah. You know?
Luca's time machine.
Exactly. Yeah. So did you I wanted to kind of segue into that from from that into like reviewing games, because we were talking about that a little bit. You ended up saying it's, yeah, I mean, I've only reviewed, well, I haven't really reviewed any games, but I've written about video games, you know?
Yeah.
Just people creating their stuff and kind of, you know, an interview on the process and, you know, what they went through a few times. But I don't know. It's like, I don't know if I'd be good at reviewing games, because it's like, I'm an okay player. I can get through whatever, you know, but,
yeah.
You know, it's, at a certain point, I'm like, yeah, you know, this game isn't for me, or, you know, I go just back to the classics, you know? So, and it's tough because like a game like, say Sekiro Must Die, or like, Dark Souls or whatever, those games, like, I hated when I first played them. And they were insanely tough. And then it took me like, you know, 5-6 years to come back and then really appreciate them, you know, and like be okay with dying like a million times.
No, but, I get you.
But like Sekiro, I didn't even get through it, but I loved that game. So I'm like, you know, I don't know if I'm even qualified to review it if I can't get through it, you know?
For me, like, I'm kind of identifying with you, because I don't want to play a game quickly. I have like an hour, maybe an hour or two in any given day to play games. So I can't rush through and sort of put in the time that you need to really turn around and review quickly. Totally, and I don't want to assume how anyone does it, but that's always been the concern for me. I think you would be good at reviewing games. You just kind of got to pick your spots and then find stuff that you're interested in. I can talk about my own thing for reviewing, because I have reviewed one game.
Yeah.
I reviewed it recently. So let me just back up a little tiny bit. So I started writing about video games about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I was playing the Persona series.
Okay. And, you got hooked, right? You're like, well, I totally got hooked.
And those were games I didn't like at first, but the ending of Persona 3 was just such a profound experience that I felt that I really needed to say something about it. It was just an amazing, moving experience, like the perfect final act for a video game that really built to something. Well, and had something to say. What's up?
Well, spoil it for me for people, because it's on, it's, you know, tell me the ending for people that don't know.
So Persona 3 is all about death and mortality and legacy. But it's like the movie American Beauty, where that's also about someone who he says at the beginning he's going to die.
Yeah.
And the movie is like life affirming, because you sort of realize how precious life is, how you only have a limited amount of time. What are you going to do in this time? Persona 3 is like that. You meet a lot of people who are dealing with change, loss, grief, different sorts of things, and you're sort of able to spend some time with them and see them work through it. The best social link in the series is a young man who's dying of an incurable disease, and you meet with him on Sunday mornings in the park, and he's talking with you, and the talks that he has with you inspires him to write a book. And at the end, his mother, the final time that you go there, his mother gives you the book that he
That's wild.
And the book that he wrote has a story that's very relevant to his own situation. It's about like what we leave behind when we're gone. So it has a lot of stuff like that. And the final act of Persona 3 is there's a robot who's part of your group who becomes human, and she's realizing what it's like to be alive. Like, there's a part where she gets into a fight with like the big bad, and she's almost dead, and like, right before she passes out, she says, "I'm scared." And that's when you realize that she's actually alive now.
Right.
And her story is about learning what it means to like have a purpose and to like be alive and feel things. And basically the ending of Persona 3 is that you end up saving everyone from this big threat. But the cost of it is that your friends don't remember each other anymore. And the final day is graduation day at your school. And the main character is on the roof with Agus the robot. And Agus is talking about what she learned, what it means to be alive. And there's an amazing quote that she has in it. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but it was basically like, nothing lasts forever. Once you come to terms with that, you realize something and you can see what really matters and you find out what gives your life meaning. Yeah. So it's very impactful, well-written. It shows these beautiful cherry blossoms, which are a perfect analogy because cherry blossoms are this thing of perfect beauty that springs into life for like a week and then it's gone for a year.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, it's just an amazing moving experience. So I had to write about how Persona 3 was this game that is fixated on death, but incredibly life affirming. And from there, I started writing other things about games when a game would really move me. And eventually that put me in a position where somebody asked me to review a game. And I'll tell you a little bit about how I approach reviewing a game to give you my two cents. Because I think
people get wrong
ideas about critics all the time. So what's up?
What game was it that they asked you to review?
It was Civ 7. Civilization 7. Sid Meier's Civilization 7. I wrote a review for Nintendo Force magazine, the most recent issue. It was, I printed it out and framed it on my wall. It was a very proud moment.
That's awesome, dude. I mean, because we grew up with that magazine. Yeah, well, Nintendo Power, really. But same thing.
Oh, yeah. It is. Yeah, it's the spiritual descendant of it. My son completely loves it. When that magazine shows up, he is like,
oh dude, it's the best thing. I was literally just talking about that. Well, actually, I posted a comment on Instagram, but those first issues and a couple of other ones, like, you know, Pokemon, Ninja Turtles, go for a good amount of change in good condition. I know it's crazy. Like the first one, if you get like a mint copy, it's like crazy money.
I had a buddy who had that.
It's like super nostalgic. I remember going to the mailbox and you're like, oh, a magazine came today. And it's like, oh my God. It's like, you just get to spend a day looking at all these things and thinking about it. Really. It's like half the thing was really just looking at these pictures and wondering, oh my God, what this game is going to be like, you know, what you're going to be able to do and all this stuff. But yeah, it's amazing. It's still very relevant.
Do you remember the first issue of Nintendo Power? Do you remember what they featured? Yeah.
I do remember. Well, the thing is, I remember getting it like during, because it was really new, but we got a subscription. So I think I got like the second or third starting game, like at the second or third issue.
Oh, the second issue like traumatized everyone because it was Castlevania 2 and it had Simon holding Dracula's decapitated head.
Yes, I do remember that. And people were like losing. It's like, dude, oh my God.
A little too much.
I know.
The first one was Super Mario Bros. 2. And they also had a map.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Quest in Zelda. Because I didn't even know there was a second quest in Zelda until I read about it in Nintendo Power magazine. So I was,
Dude, it's like, I remember just like finding stuff like that and like you're like, oh, that's how you do it, and it's like, oh, it's kind of like defeating. You're like, God damn it, I spent like 3 hours on that, you know. And there's just this simple trick that you would never guess or whatever it is, like kneel down here. You know,
when you're a kid though, you have the time. It's like, oh well,
yeah, you have the time to kneel on every single block like in the game until I like unlock something.
Oh my God, that was kind of Castlevania 2.
for sure. Oh, Simon's Quest was like a jam, dude. I love that game.
I was going to say, so reviews, like people on social take reviews so seriously. They take it personally. I have a very different perspective because one of my favorite authors of all time is Roger Ebert, who's a great movie critic. And I love his style of writing because he's very insightful and thoughtful. And you also learn about film from him. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, his job is still to recommend a piece of media to you or not. That's kind of what a critic should be doing. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how you have to approach it. It's like, would I recommend this or not? Like, who is this game for? What is it doing? Mm-hmm. Would I recommend it to a friend or not? Does it succeed or fail in what it tries to set out to do? That's how I look at. And also, how would I tell a friend about this game I just played? That's another thing. I think John Steinbeck once said, don't write for the general audience, which is an imaginary thing that doesn't exist. Write for somebody. If you can think of somebody who would be interested in this game, think of that person and try to identify how you would tell them about the game you just played. Does that make any sense?
I mean, that's actually a great piece of advice in general for writing, because I feel like you're always, even as a journalist, you're always like trying to come up with the angle or like, you know, the hook.
Yeah.
And that just really cuts at it. That's a great piece of advice.
Well, I mean, Steinbeck was an amazing writer, but there's a couple times where I've written about stories about science. I have a friend who's a scientist. I was thinking of my friend, the scientist, when I was writing the story, because I was like, they would love this. How would I explain this to them in a way that they could sort of have it move the needle with them the way that it excited me? So that's how I approach a topic like that.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea, honestly, because I feel like as a journalist, you're always trying to like, you're like learning while you're writing, which is tough. You're like juggling, and then you have to be like, okay, am I actually prepared to talk to this person yet?
Yeah.
You know? And then obviously sometimes you're not. So it's like, that's a great hack though.
So we were talking about collaborating, and I love this idea because you have been like in the media world, the freelance writing world, where you have people pitch things to you all the time. And I think it's awesome. Like I kind of think that's really cool because there, you have like too many interesting things to write about.
Yeah, it's weird because I've bounced around a lot. I mean, since I started freelancing, I bounced around and I did like everything. So it's like I covered food for a little bit. I covered travel. I covered tech, video games. With the Paste gig, you know, it was like a year or two, I think. And that was like a tech column. So it was like, you got to find something to write every month. And it's like, you'd write whatever you want. And like, it was kind of cool. But at the same time, I was like, what the hell am I going to write about? Because I didn't really want to write about like crypto or like, you know, computers or AI or anything like that. Like in general, like, you know, just like following a news beat. I wanted to kind of find like little niches. So I just did like tech in video gaming or tech in like social media or tech in comic books or selling or whatever it is, marketplace. Long story short, I'm on a lot of PR lists. So I get I get these video game pitches all the time because, you know, I've also been to PAX a couple times. So you end up on these lists. And there's great ones. And I honestly wish I had the outlet to kind of like give them the coverage they deserve. Cause there's some that like pop up on my inbox and I'm like, oh, that game looks awesome. Some, you know, aren't so great, but others I'm like, oh, I would love to write about that. And there was actually one from PAX this past year. They got in touch with me afterwards. I think I had just posted like a picture of them or something like that. They're like, yeah, if you want to write about it. And it's like still in my inbox and I still want to do it. But it's, you know, it's like one of those things. It's like you got to wait for the right time or the right outlet. And then by the time you're ready for that, it's like, oh, that's old. You know, you know how that goes. So that's basically it. I mean, the idea is basically just kind of collaborate on that stuff and like I can funnel you basically, you know, the cool ones or like basically all of them. You can kind of figure out what's cool. And I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. Everything has a place. I feel like, you know, it's like some games are like, oh, that'd be a cool story about the creator or the artist or whatever, the writer. You know, other games are like, oh, this is like a must play, or other games just fall into like, you know, kid games or like, you know, quick strategic stuff, you know. I don't know. There's just a huge, I'm just surprised how big it's got, but at the same time, like, there's so many outlets that have been like consolidated that there's so few voices now about it. You know, there's a lot of voices, but at the same time, it's like not a lot of inform. I feel like anyone could get on YouTube and just talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that, it's just, I think that everyone's doing the same thing and it just kind of feels like boring and kind of cooked.
Interesting. I, you know, it's interesting. I never did a YouTube thing. I know people will screenshot like bad takes on YouTube and I just always kind of keep scrolling. Here's what I would say. Oh, yeah. And this is what I did. If you have something that interests you enough so that you want to write about it, I just like find a way to make that happen and create it. And like, yep. I know you have to be in a position where you have the time and you don't need to get paid for it. But honestly, I would say if you find stuff that you really want to write about, just like go ahead and do it. Like the artist is supposed to create what life does not provide. So if you think there should be something out there, you try and find a way to sort of put that
mix.
That's what I use when I can.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah. So I mean, that idea kind of just stemmed from that kind of general idea because I have all these fantastic people, you know, friends or colleagues that do awesome work in these different fields, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that person would be awesome to talk about this new Godzilla toy I just saw, like online.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or this video game or this new album coming out or this old album I found, you know, at a record store or whatever.
Or comic books too.
Yeah. And, but yeah, it was just kind of like, you know, I guess, you know, it's more of like a, like kind of a Tumblr blog, but mixed with like, you know, actual interviews and like people to talk about the background of these things, you know?
Yeah. I am definitely happy to try out video games. You sent me one already and I'm enjoying it. It's interesting because it's so different from anything that I normally play.
Oh, totally, dude. Yep. Yep.
It kind of reminds me. So this one's like a paranormal investigator game, and I've only played an hour of it. It's called Among the Whisperers, and you're a paranormal investigator. It's kind of like, it's reminding me of the old Shadowgate game on the Nintendo Entertainment System. Did you ever play Shadowgate?
I don't think so, no.
Or like the very first generation of RPGs. Shadowgate is this game where basically you're walking around in a castle, and there's things you can pick up, and there's puzzles you have to solve, and a lot of time, it's finding the right tool to solve the given puzzle. Right. And I feel like in my first hour of Among the Whisperers, I feel like that's going to be a big part of the game because you have a backpack full of tools for your paranormal investigation. And you kind of have to pull them out at the right time and apply them the right way. Like you have a video camera, you have like a thing that amplifies sound. I should know what that's called.
I don't know. Is
an EKG
like an
meter?
EKG meter. Yeah, EKG.
Yep. Oh yeah, you got one of those. You got two EKG meter type things, and you got a few other things. So definitely, you're walking around in a very quiet mansion, trying to find where the haunting is and identify it, and sort of piece together what's happening. Yeah. So in that respect, it's pretty interesting. I'm definitely going to make some time for it. It doesn't really fit with my normal gaming routine, but I'll carve out some time with it and try to come back with some thoughts. But it's intriguing so far. It's definitely, and it's not a jump scare thing. It's very minimalist in terms of it's a quiet haunted house. You know, I'm walking around turning lights on and off. You also have a laser pen, which can sort of illuminate everything with little green dots. So I think that's if there's something presence there, you probably could outline a ghost. I'm gonna have some fun with that. I think there's probably gonna be some jump scare moments. Not one to play. I don't think jump scares, but there's gonna be some like eerie moments. I'm not gonna play it with the kids around.
Oh yeah, I mean that's the weird thing is like before Resident Evil, I wasn't like scared of video games, but then like that game just like I was like, oh my god, dude! Like, and now I feel like things have gotten way worse. Like there's crazy. Like I'll see YouTube clips of like people like, you know, screaming, just playing this random game. And I'm like, dude, why would you want to do that to yourself? Like that's just so much stress. It's definitely not for me, but those games where you have like people like chasing you or like it's all the dark and you just have a flashlight. Like I'm all set. I'm good.
Do you ever watch Markiplier play Five Nights at Freddy's?
Yeah, I've seen people play that. Exactly. It's the same. That game. And like, I'm like, I just don't understand it. And there's one There's like a Bendy. Is that a game or is that just a show?
Bendy, oh my god, that sounds like something my son would be into because he likes the horror genre. Yeah. So I don't know if he's old enough for it yet, but he will probably find Bendy eventually.
It's weird because I guess, like, you know, when you're a kid, you are kind of like innately attracted to that thing that scares you in some way. Yeah. It's weird, like, because, you know, you like Godzilla or, you know, the scary monster, whatever it is. And it's like, yeah, it's just strange stuff.
Five Nights at Freddy's has that appeal for a lot of kids. They're like, qualified for it and also curious about it.
Exactly. It's like just enough to scare them that they can be okay with it and like maybe look at it a little more and like dissect it. Video games in general, I think, are just so big now. And like you'll see, you know, you've been to PAX before. It's like a million games. And like, you know, leading up to that, expo.
Yeah,
you'll have a billion like emails, you know, saying come check out my game. And
I want this, Dana. I want this to be me someday because I think that's like super cool. I miss that aspect.
Well, I mean, I'll just forward you all these emails that I still have. I'm sure I'll Google PAX 25 and all the emails, like, because I tried to go to a few of them, you know.
Yeah.
I'll be like, hey, I don't know when I'm gonna be there, but I'll come. Say hi, you know, and there was that, you know, one of the games was that one, but it's basically this black and white, like, first person shooter.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like a drone office worker and you're like smoking a cigarette in like the left hand and you got like a gun in the right hand type thing. And it's wild. We can put it in the show notes, but I'll try to get the name of it.
Down the video game.
Exactly. Dude, it totally looked like that. It was wild. But it had a line out the block because, you know, it looked cool. It sounded cool. And, you know, stuff like that. I feel like you need to kind of stand out a little bit and it totally stood out. So
that's awesome.
I was just saying, I'll dig through my email and basically, forward you those and we can kind of get you a nice,
that was so cool. And you have like a press pass too. I'm like jealous, man. I miss that aspect of the journalist life, man. Not having to pay to go anywhere is like the awesome.
I mean, it's all you get addicted to it because you're like, I'm not gonna go that if I have to like stand in line and like act like a normal person. That's what got hooked me and when I was doing like music festivals, I was like, oh dude, this is like the best. I never want to do anything else, like just go to a music festival, write about it, and just walk around, talk to bands and stuff.
Did you do Boston Calling?
I did Boston Calling, like, when it was first starting and stuff. And I was definitely there at the start. And, I mean, now it's a little too big for me, you know? Like, festivals, I really enjoy a smaller festival. But, you know, it depends. I mean, like, you know, the Gorge, Sasquatch in the Gorge is, like, crazy because it's all spread out and huge. But that's a pretty big one.
Where's that?
That's in Washington, east of Seattle, I guess.
Oh, wow. And you go out there for it?
Yeah, well, I went out there once for it. Yeah. But I did, like, you know, South by Southwest and, like a bunch of different ones. Because it was just like, after a while, I was like, oh, I want to do that one and this one. Check it off. You know, the bucket list type jam.
What was the best act you saw at Boston Calling?
The best act? I'd have to, like, literally look and go back and look at the posters. Because I don't remember. But I'd say, oh, man. I don't know. It was probably maybe Beck. I do remember seeing Beck there. That he was really good. Trying to think who else. Yeah, it's all a blur, honestly, but I enjoyed that festival because it was, you know, right in Boston City Plaza. And it was kind of a cool, like, organic grow, you know what I mean? I think now that it's in Allston, it's kind of like, it's cool, but it's just kind of like too big, you know, because there's too many people that want to go to that, in the Boston area that just crowd into that tiny space. And it's like, you know,
yeah.
And it's, you know, it's a little bit of more commercial thing now. I think they had Dave Matthews Band play this year, and
oh wow,
you know, it's more, the big it's more kind of like they're getting they're turning like into you know, like a pop concert more so.
Yep.
I think as before, I think the billing was like, oh, we're gonna do hard rock, and then we'll do like hip hop on this side, and kind of it'll be this mix.
My last concert was 5 years ago. Like, oh, right before COVID hit, I went to a Get Up concert with the Strokes.
Oh, that's badass. So where was that?
That was at University of New Hampshire.
Wow.
And yeah, that was right before their new album at the time dropped. They played some songs from that for the first time, but they put on a good show. I was, we had a good old time. It was like, they put like maybe 12 songs. Yeah, it was pretty good. Concert. Get Out the Vote.
That's cool, man.
I was into the Strokes at that point too, so I think they closed with New York City Cops, which I'd never heard before.
Oh dude, so good. I mean, I remember that album came out. I was just like, I was so fucking juiced on that album. Like, I played the shit out of it.
Oh, the first one?
Yeah.
It's a classic.
But to get back to video games, I think it's like the same thing, because you want to feel like you're in a new world immediately, and that's insanely hard to do with games, because it's like you turn it on, you want to be entertained, but you don't want to like sit through, you know, an hour of cutscenes to explain what you're doing. There's that fine balance, like, and it's crazy because like you think back to like Legend of Zelda, and it's exactly like that. It's so minimalist, but it like You don't even know what's going on, but you're like, yeah, dude, I got a sword and I'm killing, like, you know, monsters. So we're going to figure out how it goes. Yeah, exactly. But I think that's like in general, like when you're talking about reviewing games, is like, do they have that aspect? And it's like, that's the part that kind of worries me a little bit, because it's like, maybe I just don't have the appetite for that aspect, or like, I can't appreciate it. So, but yeah, I think the reviewing thing, it's definitely, if you're, you know, kind of placing it, you know, or viewing it in that way where it's, you're open to it and trying to figure out who it's for, how it's done. I think you can always, there's always something insightful you can find there, you know?
Yeah. And I think different games have different strengths too. I always try to look at like what it's trying to do, what it's leaning into. I'll give a movie example. Cause like, this is one, but like when people talk about like Zack Snyder, like not really my kind of movies at all. But like when I'm evaluating a Zack Snyder movie, I'm kind of looking at it like, okay, what is he doing visually? Cause that's kind of what he's about. Like,
he's got that stylish take on it, you know?
That's kind of what he does. And J.J. Abrams is like, you're going to have some frantic activity. There's going to be stuff being thrown around and colliding, because that's kind of what J.J. Abrams does. Whereas someone like David Lynch is going to be a very different experience, where, you know, you're kind of like, okay, what sort of thing? And I think the ones that succeed the best sort of find a way to sort of keep it in that groove and sort of take whatever it's doing. The ones that are bad, like, sort of wildly go from style to style, where it's almost like, what's happening here? I feel like...
Oh, totally.
Yeah, it's interesting. But I always try to evaluate for, like, what the strengths are, what they're doing, instead of, like, what it's not. Because, I feel like you see that sometimes, especially with, like, the people who rant on YouTube. Because my son watches those videos, and it, like, gives me a headache. But it's basically the people who are just ranting about how Piece of Media X did not meet their expectations. And sometimes that's exactly how it goes, but other times it's like, I would rather evaluate what it was setting out to do, what it did it actually succeed in that, or is there a reason why I couldn't quite get on board with it? Like, that's like, for me, that's the thing.
I think we're living in a no context generation.
My god, yes please continue.
It's like, yes, this like person got on YouTube and said like exactly how they felt, how it made them feel. It was missing this key part that I really loved, and like I loved in the last game, and it's like, and they make, you know, they just do these videos that like I get it that they're emotionally connected to, but it's like, that's all you're really going on. Maybe you're doing a little bit of research to kind of before you go on YouTube or whatever, but I feel like it's mostly like just trauma dumping about, you know, these pieces of media. And it's
just
like,
kind of trolling people into engaging with whatever discussion you're having.
It is. And it's funny because it's like, I don't like, who cares? Like it's such a like off-putting thing for me when like someone's like, or like, you know, freaking out on a video about something or overreacting. Cause it's just like your synapses are mine, or at least are like just burned out on that.
Can I give you one example of a critic who famously got it wrong, by the way?
Oh, yes, please.
And actually, I'll tell you one or two about another thing with reviews that's, like, contested. So Roger Ebert famously did not like Godfather Part II the first time he saw it. He gave, like, three stars.
I heard that.
He didn't like that it jumped around in time. He wanted it to all happen chronologically. He didn't feel it. He eventually wrote a great movies essay about it where he acknowledged the initial review. He didn't back off of it. And by the way, I don't think he owed anyone that explanation. But he went back and did it. And he said, this is why I didn't like it at the time. Over time, I've grown to appreciate X, Y, and Z about a movie. And by the way, he spoke about that several times in his writings. Another movie he didn't recognize how great it was Groundhog Day with Bill Murray, which is a great movie. And he was like, I didn't realize how great it was at first. So sometimes that also happened to me. He was writing for a deadline. He had to crank that thing out in like less than in a matter of hours. So he went with his first impression. But even the best could admit that, okay, I maybe didn't see it at first, but over time I did.
Yeah.
So that's like one piece of how, even the greats.
Yeah, and it happens all the time, of course, you know?
Yeah.
Because, we're just living in the moment and kind of spilling our guts.
You do see it a lot. The other one is with games. A lot of people, there's this huge debate over whether should somebody play the entire game or should they play part of it. I see people get all fired up in both directions. My own personal opinion of it, and I follow critics. I think Jason Schreier from Bloomberg used to review games. He was incredible at it. What he would do, like he would play Final Fantasy 15. He played the whole thing before he wrote his review, which was like a 100-hour game.
Exactly.
And probably a week or two, which is, you got to be dedicated. And then he wrote this incredible review, which is like one of the best I've ever read. So yeah, I tip my hat to him. He's a grandmaster. I think you can play part of the game or whole of the game. The only thing is you need to be clear with the reader how much of the game that you play.
Oh yeah.
If you only played 10 hours, say I only through 10 hours, this game is like X, Y, and Z. Through completing the game, I can say X, Y, and Z. There are people with very strong opinions both ways. I feel like you can do either according to how much time you have. You just have to be honest with the reader that of what your context is, going back to that question of context. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the best thing to see. It's like, I love to see that right up front on a review. Yeah. It's like, I put like 120 hours in. It's like, fuck, like this is going to go so hard. I don't know if I need that review, that level, you know, I just want to know if I should pick this up or not. But I do appreciate it. If someone's like going in on like a huge release, like, you know, a Halo or, you know, not so much Call of Duty. Cause it's like, those games are just cut and paste garbage, honestly.
Well, I'm not going to get into the Final Fantasy versus Call of Duty. I will say when I reviewed Civ 7, I played a full playthrough where I beat the game. And I did say that in there. I did it once. I beat it once. I got a science victory. So I did have that context for the reader that I did play the game.
Did that take you to play?
Probably 20 hours maybe. But the thing is, here's the thing, like to really get into the nitty gritty, and as a reviewer, I probably have to do this. I had Civ 6 on the Switch, which was a great experience, except for when you get to about 300 turns in, the game will slow down because the Switch is not the most robust of hardware. So when I was playing Civ 7 on the Switch, I was very mindful of I have to play the whole game because in the beginning, it will zip along with the turns and everything, and it's great snappy gameplay. By the time you get to the final era, you're looking at about a minute for the computer to take its turn, at least each turn. So you're it's almost like load times. So I felt like and I included that in the review because I felt like if somebody is playing that game on the Switch and like me, they played Civ 6, that was my first question. It's like, okay, what's the end game going to be like? Am I ever going to be able to finish a game or is it going to wait me out? I've got some gaming stories about my son that are just tremendous. Like he's turned to quite a gamer.
That's wild, man. Maybe he'll go pro. It's it used to not be a thing, and now it very much is.
If there's a professional circuit for Mario Builders, I think my son could definitely like carve out a niche on Mario Builder 2.
That's great.
Oh my God, he came up to me. I'll tell you this one real quick. I'll tell it too on that one, but he's like he was like, Dad, can we get in touch with Nintendo? And I'm like, why? He's like, well, I've almost got 100 levels uploaded to Mario Maker 2, and that's the limit. Do you think we could get them to give us like 150? I was like, probably not, but we might need to go back and sort of curate your level uploaded collection. And
he's like thinking about it.
He's
he's
but watching him work is tremendous.
Oh, dude, I can't imagine because I don't have the patience for a game like that. And I mean, maybe I would when it was younger because it's like kind of a play bot, sandbox.
It is, and he loves it.
But like,
playing it as he goes.
Oh, man. Seeing those people play through those levels just like immediate anxiety. I'm like, no.
Oh, he loves it. I know. And he wants to design it with me. And I was like, oh, God, no. And then I'll like do it for like an hour just because, your son's getting you to do it. So you kind of have to. I was like, okay, this was fun. And then I'm like, okay, I'm done. He's like, oh, let's do another hour. And I'm like, no. I'm like, anything else I have to do.
Exactly. They'll just grind on that stuff. It's crazy.
Oh, it's fun. And chatting with you is always fun. Dana, thanks again.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, bro.
Thank you for joining the Amazing Gamers Podcast, a Just for Fun production that's recorded whenever Nathan has a little bit of free time and a friend to discuss a cool topic with. We hope you enjoyed the discussion and that you'll circle back with us next time. Until then, may all your gaming be amazing.